إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، اتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، فتنكين الله سبحانه وتعالى to whom all thanks and praises and praise are due. We pray blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم and the members of his respected household and upon all those who follow his footsteps until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. Today, inshallah, we will continue with the reading of the book Al-Arba'un of Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. And we will read Al-Hadith with that. That is the ninth Hadith, inshallah. It says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه، عن أبي هريرة عبد الرحمن بن صخر رضي الله عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول: ما نهيتكم عنه فاجتنبوه، وما أمرتكم به فأتوا منه ما استطعتم، فإنما أهلك الذين من قبلكم كثرة مسائلهم واختلافهم على أنبيائهم. رواه البخاري ومسلم. The hadith says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عن أبي هريرة عبد الرحمن ابن صخر رضي الله عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول: ما نهيتكم عنه فاجتنبوه، وما أمرتكم به فأتوا منه ما استطعتم، فإنما أهلك الذين من قبلكم كثرة مسائلهم واختلافهم على أنبيائهم. رواه البخاري ومسلم. الإمام النووي عليه رحمة الله، as we have read in the مقدمة، he made the حز of the أحسانيين، he cut off the إسناد between himself and Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, and he reported directly from Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. Abu Rahman ibn Sakh qala, who said, sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yaqul, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saying, ma nahaytukum anhu fajtanibu, when I prohibit you something, when I prohibit something unto you, fajtanibu, run away from it, leave it, keep away from it. وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ، and مَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. When I order you to do something, he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, fa'tu minhu mastata'tum, do it, bring about from it, act upon it, mastata'tum, as much as you are able, as much as you have the capability, do it, when I order you to do something. فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ Because those who came before you became destroyed by what? كَفْرَةْ مَسَائِلِهِمْ A great deal of casting. They are asking, casting, casting all the time. وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ And they are rejecting or denying or contradicting their anbiya, their prophets that came unto them. It says, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِنَّمَا أَهَلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ What destroyed those who came before you was their hasratu or where their hasratu mata'ilihim, they are acting, acting and acting. وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ And they are contradicting their prophets who came to them. This hadith was reported by Al-Imam al-Bukhari and also by Al-Imam Muslim. And this love, this wording of this hadith is the wording of Imam Muslim, or one of the wordings of Imam Muslim, alayhi rahmatullah. This hadith, like we said, is one of the wordings, as we have read it, is one of the wordings of Imam Muslim, alayhi rahmatullah. And in this wording of the hadith, that is reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and collected by Imam Muslim, alayhi rahmatullah, in his Sahih, in Kitab al-Fada'il, in Sahih Muslim, it has a beginning. And in the second report too, it has a beginning. And that was the saying of Al-Imam al-Zuhri, alayhi rahmatullah, Muhammad ibn Muslim, ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, one of the greatest scholars of Islam ever, since the history of Islam. He is from amongst the tabi'un, Al-Imam al-Zuhri, alayhi rahmatullah. He is from the greatest scholars of the Muslims. So he said, أخبرني أبو سلمة ابن عبد الرحمن بن عوف وسعيد ابن مسعيد that Abu Salama, the son of Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf. Abu Salama is not Abu Salama, the husband of Salama, who died shortly after the battle of Uhud. He became injured in the battle of Uhud, Abu Salama radiallahu anhu, and he died shortly after that battle from the injuries he sustained during the battle. And we remember that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam got married to his widow Salama radiallahu anh. And by that, two of his children that he left behind, Imra and Umar, began to live in the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is Abu Salama Sahabi. This one is Abu Salama Sadi, the son of a Sahabi, and that was the person of Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf. One of the persons from whom he learned a great deal was Abu Huraira. So for the report of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, from the most reliable person who would report the narration of Abu Huraira was Abu Salama ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf. Abu Salama, the son of Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu wa rahimahullah. So, Imam al-Zuhri alayhi rahmatullah narrated that Abu Salama reported to him, and also Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib is also from the greatest people we rely on regarding the reports of Abu Huraira, because he was one of the closest persons to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Rather, he married the daughter of Abu Huraira. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib is the husband of the daughter of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So he is also very, very close to Abu Huraira. In fact, he used to be called Sayyid, or he is still called Sayyid al-Tabi'in. That is Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. So these two eminent students of Abu Huraira, Al-Imam al-Zuhri said, Akhbarani Abu Salama wa Akhbarani Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. Very strong chains of narration. That the two of them said to him that كان أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه يحدث أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول that Abu Huraira used to say, so it's not something he heard once. Because they are always with Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, these two persons. They say that the two of them, each of them differently or variously said to Al-Imam al-Zuhri alayhi rahmatullah, that Abu Huraira radiallahu would narrate, that is, he would narrate, he used to narrate, he used to say that kana yuhaddithu, something he would do many times, not more than once. So he would say that, and then he reported the hadith that annahu sami'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, then he brought this hadith with this love, with this wording that we have read, that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, ma nahaytukum anhu fajtanibu. So this love is, as we have mentioned it, and it is contained in the Prophet. The second love of this hadith has also come from Al-Imam al-Zuhri alayhi rahmatullah, and he is also reporting from one of the tabi'un who reported from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that Abu Huraira said radiallahu anhu, khatabana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam gave us a summon, faqala, and within it, within the sermon that the Prophet gave, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, ayyuhan nas, O people, inna Allah qad farada, he said, qad farada Allah, the riwayat said, inna Allah farada alaykum. Like in the one we are reading, it's not inna Allah. It says, qad farada Allah alaykum al-hajjah, fahujju, ayyuhan nas, qad farada Allah عليكم الحج فحجوا. O people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Hajj obligatory upon you. فحجوا. So perform the Hajj. فقال رجل, so someone said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أقول عام يا رسول الله, this Hajj you say we should perform, is it every year we should perform it? Yes. إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْحَجَّ فَحَجُّوا. Allah has made Hajj obligatory upon you, so make the Hajj. It could mean make the Hajj once. It could mean make the Hajj. It could mean make the Hajj more than once. It could also mean make the Hajj once. So in trying to seek clarification, is it once or is it every year? Even when fahujju does not mean it is everywhere, every year. But it could mean yahtamil, it could mean more than once. So inna Allah farada alaykum al-hajja, fahujju, Allah has made hajj obligatory upon you, so make the hajj. So this companion was asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كل عام يا رسول الله. Is it every year we'll perform the Hajj, O Messenger of Allah? It is فصكت حتى قالها ثلاثة. The Prophet kept silent, عليه الصلاة والسلام, thinking that he will keep silent if I don't answer. He kept on asking, كل عام يا رسول الله. كل عام يا رسول الله. And at the third time he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام. He says, لو قلت نعم لوجبت. لو قلت نعم لوجبت. If I said yes, when you said, should it be every year? O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if I said yes, it would mean yes every year. وَلَا مَسْتَطَعْ. And you would not be able to do it. You will not be able to come to Hajj every year. Because even basically Hajj is liman istata'a ilayhi sabila. So will everybody be able to come every year? And look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His wisdom. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows that we will not be able to come every year. He even knows that even the ones itself, it is not everyone who will be able to go. He says, لِمَا يَسْتَطَعَ إِلَيْهِ.
Why he was talking about for you came salah? He didn't say Iman is taqwa alayhi. He said why you took zakat. Now, zakat is also Iman is taqwa. Or is it not? Like him, did he put it there? Because that someone is able to pay the zakat, if he has the ability, is closer to occurring than someone being able to go for Hajj. It's more likely that someone is able to pay zakat than that he is able to go for Hajj. So, but because going for Hajj is contains some more difficulties, zakat is just once you have the money and the time reaches, you pay. But Hajj, aside from having the money, you must have the strength to be able to perform Hajj. If one, performing Hajj requires strength. You must be strong enough to perform the Hajj. You must be strong enough to go for the Tawaf. You must be strong enough to go for the Sa'i. You must be strong enough to go for Jamrat. In fact, you will imagine then you will need to, you need more strength than you need now. You need more strength then than you need now. Because now most of the roads are made, you know, they are motorable. You go on cars from Makkah to Mina, from Mina to Arafah, from Arafah to Muzdalifah, Muzdalifah back to Mina, and then Mina to Makkah for Tawaf al-Ifada, and then Makkah back to Mina the same day. The roads are nice now, you can go on transport, then you go on the feet. There is a hadith that Shaykh al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, he referred to al-Imam Diya'ul Muqdasi in his book Al-Ahadith al-Mukhtara. And in it, it's mentioned that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, on the night of Ayyamu Muna, he will move from Makkah, from Mina to Makkah, from Mina to Makkah, he will make tawaf and then return to Mina and sleep in Mina. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will move from Mina to Makkah, and then back to Makkah in the night of Ayyamu Mina. Despite the activities of that day and the stress of the period that the Hujjaj go through. If when people get lost, this is the period that they get lost. That's why they have offices called Lost Pilgrim's Office. No, just report yourself. Once you are lost, just look for the next Lost Pilgrim's Office to report yourself. Yeah, look, I'm lost. You start directing me. Perhaps the people can't speak the language they speak or something. Directing. So it's from easier now. But then imagine the rocks, imagine the valleys, imagine the difficulties, imagine the harshness of the desert itself. So Allah says, Liman is tafa'a ilayka. The one who is able to do so. Even when the ulama say, based on the hadith of Bint Khafaniyah, the one who came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and was asking that her parents, her mother, or her father, or his father, or his mother, because the report that it was a male who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask this question. But he has the financial capability to make the Hajj, but he does not have the strength to make the Hajj. In fact, in some riwayat, it says, if he is put on the beast of burden, he can't sit upright. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the Hajj is still obligatory on him. How? He will give the wealth he has to someone who will make the Hajj for him. Niyabatallah. So someone will go and make the Hajj for him. So even those who have the wealth, but do not have the physical ability, they can make someone perform the Hajj for them. From that hadith. So performing the Hajj takes more stress, requires some more ability than just giving the zakat. So you go out of your home, you go on a journey, you dusty, forget about if you sleep in an AC filled room. Loving, comfort, you forget about it. And for example, if you're in Nigeria, the situation becomes more difficult. You sleep in hot camp for days, unknown days, to and fro. Yes, when you are going, Allah knows the number of days you sleep in hot camp. You say your plane will come tomorrow, your plane will come next tomorrow. And the same thing when you are coming back to Nigeria. So they go on riots and rampage and all this. Hajj requires some more strength, despite these difficulties that the people have put upon themselves, that Allah has not put upon them. So he says, لِمَنِ اسْتَطَعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Despite all that. So as we know that, yes, it really requires some level of preparation. So the man asked, radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet Muhammad, كُلُّ عَامٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Is this going to be every year, O Messenger of Allah? And the Prophet said, alayhi salam, لَوْ كُلْتُ نَعَمْ لَوَجَبَتْ. If I say yes, then it will be obligatory. Here is evidence that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his statement, his saying yes to something is legalizing that thing as part of Islam. When the Prophet says no also to something, it's showing that that thing is not permissible in the Sharia. Even when that is still found in the text of the Hadith where we read it, so going says, ما نهيتكم when I prohibit you. ما أمرتكم what I order you. So his orders and his prohibitions are from the Sharia. So how did he get it? Because some of the scholars say that yes, this is evidence that the Prophet can make it clear. Ulama say no. This is evidence that he would receive the revelation to say yes. Because if he received the revelation to say yes, he would not say no. He would not say yes. He would say yes. So he's not saying yes, it's not from his volition. Just like if he says yes, it's from his volition too. Because it's a matter that has to do with the Sharia. It says, لَوْ كُلْتُ نَعَمْ لَوَجَبَتْ. So he's saying na'am would not be from his volition. He would not say na'am from his volition. And he would not say what he had also from his volition. So in أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُحَى إِلَيَّ. What he followed alayhi salatu wasalam is what is revealed unto him. So it is not revealed unto him from the Sharia that he should say yes, such that it becomes obligatory or not to perform the Hajj all the time. So it means what he says we should do from the Sharia, they are, if they are things that are obligatory, then they are obligatory from the Sharia. We don't say no, it's Prophet has said this one. We'll come back to that if Allah makes it possible, inshallah. So he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, لَوْ قُلْتُ نَعَمْ لَوَجَبَتْ وَلَمَا اسْتَطَعْتُ. If I said yes, it will be obligatory and you will not be able to do it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Ulama say this is also evidence that there is ease in the Sharia. The Sharia, Allah does not, he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. He's not placed in this deen things that are difficult for you. You will not be able to do it, no. There is nothing in the deen except that Muslims are able to do. The people are able to do. The ones that some may be able to do, some will not be able to do, he gives them. If you are not able to do this, you do that. If you are not able to do this, you do that. So, but in it all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made this deen something that is difficult. So he says, summa qala. Thereafter the Prophet said, alayhi salam, ذروني ما تركتكم ذروني ما تركتكم. In the riwayah of Imam al-Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah, he says دعوني ما تركتكم. Leave me when I leave you. As long as I have not said do something or don't do something, just leave me. Don't ask me, is it four times? Is it five times? Leave me. Leave me. This brings to mind the hadith of the one, this hadith is contained in Sunan Abi Dawud. Someone was performing the wudu in front of the Prophet Muhammad. So he would wash his face twice, the hands twice, like that, the head, washing all parts of his body. Then he asked the Prophet, alayhi salam, after washing the third time, should I exceed? Should I do more? The Prophet said, alayhi salam, he says, من زاد على هذا فقد أساء وظلم. The Prophet said, alayhi salam, whoever adds to this, فَقَدْ أَسَاءَ, he has done evil, he has done wrong, وَظَلَمَ, and he is unfair to himself. You know why? He's not been commanded to do that. The Prophet, he will wash three, he will wash two, he will wash once, imma once, twice, thrice. So why are you asking whether you should add four? 5, 6. let me watch it very well.
Yes, watch.
But it gives you limits. So it's in the meaning of this hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam. Say, Zaruni ma taraktukum. As long as I leave you, I've not said do. I've not said don't do, Zaruni. Leave me, don't ask me. She'll be responding, Jamrat, 50 times per day during her, don't ask me. Zaruni ma taraktukum. Should we perform Salatul Duha 50 rakats? Don't ask me that kind of thing. Zaruni ma taraktukum. As long as I've not told you to it, don't ask me. Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar alayhi rahmatullah, when he was explaining this hadith, he said that was why he was telling them, فَإِنَّ أَحْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ إِنَّمَا أَحْلَكَ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ أَسْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ. They were destroyed because they were asking. He said, "An أَضَّهُ بَقَرَ." He said to Bani Israel, "And this is not a Baqarah." Then they started ما لونها ما start asking لحمها ما this ما that. Ulama say فشددوا وشدد عليهم. They were difficult upon themselves, so Allah brought difficulty for them. So don't ask those questions. So he said to them, ذروني ما تركتكم. As long as I've not said do, as long as I have not said, don't do, leave me, don't ask me. The Prophet said to alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he said, فَإِنَّمَا هَلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ كَسْرَةِ مَسَائِلِهِمْ. He said, بِكَسْرَةِ سُؤَالِهِمْ وَاخْتِلَافِهِمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ. Then he brought this hadith. So he said, started from هَلَكَ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ, with which it ended with this love of Imam Muslim that we are using. We are not. But all of the meanings are present in it, except the beginning of it, that Al-Imam Al-Zuhri said that those two learned people, Al-Imam Abu Salama ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf and Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, used to say, or would say, that كان أبو هريرة يحدث أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول. So, but this hadith made us understand what was the Prophet saying, alayhi salatu wasalam, before he made the statement. He was actually giving a sermon to the people about Hajj. And this hadith occurred during Hajj, Hajjatul Wida, the last Hajj that the Prophet performed, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the only Hajj that he performed. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, performed only Hajj once. Performed Hajj once. In the 9th year of Hijrah. And he died in the Rabiul Awwal of the 10th year after Hijrah. So before that, the Hajj that was performed was led by Abu Bakr radiallahu. So that statement, this hadith we are reading today, comes from what he said to the people during the Hajj. And the precedence is what we have read from one of the wordings of Al-Imam Muslim, alayhi rahmat. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, back to the wording we are using, that مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ, يعني فَاتْرُكُوهُ, abandon it. Whatever I prohibit you, اجْتَنِبُوهُ, ابْتَعِدْ عَنْهُ, that is, run away from it. The ulama say this is the same meaning of what Allah says, that wala taqrabu zina. He says, do not come near the zina. So if you don't come near the zina, tabta'id an zina. You will keep away, keep distance from zina. Do you understand? So ulama say this is evidence that things that are prohibited are not just left. You don't just say, I've left the prohibition. You've run away from prohibitions. It's not just to leave the prohibition, tark, not only that, it's tenib, keep away from it. So this is from the benefits of this hadith. And also the Prophet saying, alayhi salatu wasalam, that ma nahaytukum anhu fajtanibuhu. In some riwayat, it says, tamtahu. And that comes with the verse of the Quran where Allah says, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. What the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gives you, orders you, take it. And what he prohibits you, keep away from it. And then he says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. Then fear Allah subhanahu. So this means and makes us understand the importance of keeping away from what the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam has ordered us to keep away from. The ulama say, وَهَذَا النَّحْيُ عَامٌ فِي جَمِيرِ الْمَنَاهِ. That this prohibition of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should disorder the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should keep away from everything that is prohibited, عَامٌ is general, فِي جَمِيرِ الْمَنَاهِ, regarding everything that is prohibited. So everything that is prohibited, we should keep away from. They say, إِلَّا فِي حَالَةِ الضَّرُورَةِ, except in the conditions, in the situations of their difficulties, or their, D-I-R-E, not D-A-R-E, their necessity or their difficulty. It is in these cases that the people are permitted to do, to act upon things that are prohibited. And those cases are not without their control in the Sharia. That someone is in a situation of darura, they are not without their control. It's very common these days. You see, perhaps people want to go into a vehicle, and there's a lady sitting there, public transport, for example. So the Ustaz says he will not join the public transport. And the people say, Ustaz, come and join the transport. They say, no, I will not go. He says he's not joining because there's a lady sitting there, he does not like to sit near the lady. They say, ah, it's darura ba. So because he's been prohibited from such sitting with such ladies, with women, so he keeps away. But they say now, no, you can do it. So it's so common on the streets, everybody knows the qaida of darura. Malaba darura ba. Mala, is it not darura? Do it now. Meanwhile, if he stands there, in the next 5 minutes, he will find another vehicle. So it means it is not darura. So this will make us explain a little bit about the things that have to do with darura. Those things that have to do with darura are things that are manahi al-shar'iyya. The things that the sharia has prohibited us from. Maybe from food, or from clothing, or from dealing with people. Sharia has prohibited us from them, or from drinks. The Sharia has prohibited us from them. But because of the situations of darura, someone is sick, about to die, someone is hungry severely, like he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, فَمَنْ الْمُطُرَّ فِي مَخْمَصَةٍ. The one who is caught up in severe hunger, غَيْرَ مُتَجَانِفٍ لِإِسْمِ, it's not that he wants to audaciously act upon the sin. See, two different kinds of people. The other one will say, darura, you act upon the sin. He's also quoting darura. The other one is actually in the situation of darura. So Allah says, غَيْرَ, it is not that first one who is claiming darura. غَيْرَ مُتَجَانِفٍ لِإِسْمِ, not the one who wants to just act upon the sin. فَمَنِ الْتُرَّ فِي مَخْمَصَةٍ, the one who is caught in severe hunger, and not the one who wants to act upon sin, stylishly claiming darura, is فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَفِرُرَ. So Allah is unforgiving Muslims. So the situations of darura are governed very briefly by two twin rules, by a twin rule and twin conditions. Two rules, two conditions. When the two conditions are fulfilled, then the two rules will apply. When the conditions are not fulfilled, the rules are not applied. So don't say you are in a situation of darura until these two conditions have been fulfilled, have occurred to you. The first one that ulama say, rahimahumullah, is that Allah yajib سوى هذا المحرم أن لا يدي سوى هذا المحرم. The one who is in a situation of darura would not have found any alternative except this thing that is empty. Someone is traveling on an express. Let's drive, enter everywhere is forest and it is night. It is not safe for him to stay there. And a vehicle comes, public transport. There are weary men and all those. We have to sit with them. And we know how they pass the passengers. So, if he feels that what is most preponderant, because the ulama also say that in these situations, someone can ask upon what they refer to as Dhannur Rajih. It's not ilm, yakin, he's not sure that he will never find a vehicle. But it is most likely that he may not find a vehicle. If he acts upon it, like as if he's sure that he will not find a vehicle. If what is most likely, from the look of things, it's like the vehicles are getting fewer on the roads now. It's not likely that I get a vehicle. Then it means this first condition is fulfilled as far as the issues of darura is concerned. And that is the fact that he does not find an alternative to that thing that is prohibited. That is the first condition. The second condition is أَنْتَنْ بَطِ أَبِهِ الضَّرُورَةَ وَإِلَّا أَلَى. That is, we must be sure that يَنْدَفِعُ بِهِ الضَّرُورَةَ. When he does that thing that is prohibited, the situation of darura will go. Like the case of the person we gave as an example in the desert or on a road, alone in the forest. He is sure that yes, once he enters this vehicle, he will go out of this danger in which he is. Then he is in the situation of darura. But if he is not sure that if he enters that vehicle, that this vehicle can't even take me out of this situation, he should not join the vehicle. So for that case, we bring the situation of someone who is thirsty. He does not find anything except alcohol. So he fulfills the fourth condition. Allah yajid siwa al-muharram. So he fulfills the fourth condition. The second condition of an yandafi abihi darura, that thing that he finds that is prohibited should take away his difficulty. The question is, does alcohol take away the difficulty of theft? Does it? Does alcohol quench death? Huh? Does it? Does alcohol quench death? Does it? It doesn't. Ulama say it doesn't. And Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar alayhi rahmatullah says it doesn't. And he says that is what the Salaf say. الإمام الحافظ الإمام الشنقيطي عليه رحمة الله he also says it doesn't. And شيخ محمد بن الصالح الأثيمين عليه رحمة الله also says it doesn't. الإمام الشنقيطي mentioned that in his book أبواب البيان في إيضاح القرآن بالقرآن. And شيخ محمد بن الصالح الأثيمين عليه رحمة الله mentioned that in his book شرح القواعد الأصولية. In the book شرح, he wrote the Manzuma and he did the sharh. When he was talking about darura, he mentioned this nafsu ala hada, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Husayni. Alcohol does not take away the difficulty of theft. So because that muharram, yes, first condition, he should not find any other except that thing that is prohibited. So it fulfills its goal. The second condition, that that thing should take away surely the application of the darura. So that does not fulfill the condition. So for that case, he don't cause a darura to be mahzura for that setting. You don't start quoting the Quran in that darura. He's not that person. He's not the one. The one that is in the case is the fourth case of a traveler, like we give an example. So he's sure that the tires are okay, the vehicle is strong. After perhaps 5 minutes of journey, the vehicle will go out of the danger zone then you tell that kind of a person, Ustaz al-Darura, to be a mahzura. Yes, the mahzura is he's sitting beside the lady. So to be hubu al-Darura. So the darura makes it for his condition permissible. So two conditions and two qaida. Two shart, shartan, qaidatan. The first qaida we have mentioned is that is al-Darura to be a mahzura. The second one is what? الضرورة تقدر بقدر. So we go back to the man again. We say once he gets out of danger zone to a place where he can find a vehicle and sit away from a lady, تقدر بقدر. He has to go out of the place. Because الضرورة تقدر بقدر. People will say no. If I go out of this vehicle, how much would I spend? Because I want to travel from Kaduna to Zaria. So he will extend the darura. So Gaira Mutajanis is, he is Mutajanis. Because he has exceeded the conditions of air. Else he says, Samani Bistur Zaira Bhaji Wala Adi. Wala Isma. Hala Alayhi Isu. Yana Huwa Bhaji. Atim. So he wants to do it, I will do it. Can I come down here? People will be thinking that I'm not civilized now. So he would like to extend. So this situation of darura is a situation where the Prophet said, when the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ma nahaitukum anhu fajtanibuhu, what I have prohibited is go away from me. The situation where a Muslim may go into what prohibited is this situation of a darura. This is the only exception that someone has to act upon something that is basically prohibited. The question is, the fact that the person is in a situation of darura, it does not mean that that thing is permissible. It is only permissible for him and for his condition. For him and for his condition. The basic ruling is still there. So when he gets out of that condition, the matter goes back to the basic ruling of it being prohibited. So many people today, they act upon darura and they see darura as, is darura, no? Is darura for our society? So they just go ahead like that, acting upon things that are manhiya, things that are prohibited matters. And by that, they act upon, they audaciously act upon the things that Allah has prohibited. Someone is using a bank account in the riba based bank. So he says, oh, I can't do anything, they can't send any money to me except through bank account. They can't pay my salary except bank account. He opens a bank account. And then the money gets there, he leaves it there. Today they will send him a text message from Canada, putting chicken, kaza kaza. So, so amount. Instead of going there to remove it, because Abdarura to come out of the company, I say, no, let it stay there. So that one is exceeding the bounds of the darura. If it is accepted in the first place that he does not have an alternative to getting the money spent, and that he's sure that if the money is spent through the bank, it will get to him. And the money will get to him. So in that situation, the case goes on to say, okay, today is mahzura, lacking. But that will be contrary to her also. The limits should not be exceeded. The lot of the people exceed the limits of the rule. So that is regarding what the Prophet said, alayhi salam. Ma nahaitukum anhu fajtanibuhu. What I have prohibited you from, don't do it. The situation where somebody can do it is a situation of a darura. But before you quote darura, you must fulfill two conditions. When you fulfill the two conditions, there are two rules to darura, not one. Two rules. The first, ad-darura, to be called mahzura. Ad-darura, to qaddar the qadri. A lot of people drop this second one, to qaddar the qadri. They say, well, ad-darura, to be called mahzura, but lacking to qaddar the qadri. The limits of the darura should not be exceeded. Once the darura goes, the limits and the earlier itaha also goes up. For him, it returns to the original state of it being a prohibition. And then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وما أمرتكم به وما أمرتكم به فأتوا منه ما استطعتم. And what I have prohibited you from, he says, فأتوا منه. Bring from it. Act upon it. In some riwayat, it says, فأفعلوا منه. Act upon it. ما استطعتم. As long as you are able. Bring the, as much as you are able to bring from it. As much as you are able to do. So we have been commanded to perform salah. This aqimus salah. Many verses in the Quran. So someone says, oh, but I can't stand up in the salah. It does not mean you will not perform salah. It says, you mean who? Not salah. Because the salah has come with an order, with an amr. Is about to come to shape. I command you to do something. From that thing that I have commanded you, bring from it as much as you are able. So the one who is not able to perform the salah, I mean, what did he say he should do? Alayhi salam. They should pray seeking. The one who is not able to speak, what should he do? He should pray a line. Apart to mean who? Do we understand? The time that the moon is sighted, not because the moon is sighted. Liru'yatihi, Islam is not Aliliya. Islam is Linawak. At the time that the moon is sighted, Satpa. So someone does not hear that the moon has been sighted. So will he pay back the fast of that day that he did not hear that the moon is sighted or not? Will he pay it back? Will he pay it back? And say, فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَسْتَطَعَ. Why? He was not able because he didn't hear that the moon is sighted. And he can't fast on the day except that. Because the asul is that there is no fast. That's what he was coming with from Shaban. No fast. So if he must change the condition to fast, it must be based on knowledge. So where is that knowledge? He didn't get it. Not because he was not careful, not because he was careless, he just did not get to him. That's all effort that he made. But actually the moon was sighted and the fasting began. So how do you say he should pay back what he has not owed? He has not owed it because he did not deliberately leave it. And he did not leave it because he was sick. Or he was traveling. He just did not know that Ramadan has started when it has actually started. So to say that he will pay it back actually requires proof. And the proof that he will not pay it back is just this. Subhanallah, Master Fatima. How? Iza amartukum bi shay'in fa'tu minhu, Master Fatima. The amr is that he should fast at the time that the moon is sighted. But he's not able to know because he is not aware that the moon is sighted. So he will only continue fasting at the time that he knows that the moon is. So tomorrow he will fast. And today that he has not fasted, we don't have evidence to say, oh, pay back the fast. Fasting who? Master. So these are, and like we mentioned, of the old person who has the money to perform Hajj. They are ulama from that hadith. But this hadith also proves it indirectly. That yes, you give the money to those who are physically able to perform the Hajj for him. So he's going to do that ala qadri istita. So as he is able, what he's able to do is to give the money. He will not say, because I can't go with myself, so let me not go now. I can't go alone, I can't go with myself, so let me not go. No. So we say, Jesus, why should I give my money to say, this is what you are able to do now. You are not able to go with yourself should not prevent you from going at all. Because that you send someone to go for you is past. You have gone for the Hajj. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. When I command you to do something, do it to the extent of your ability. He does not say, when you are not able, just leave it. Do what you are able from it. It's simple. We are just trying to bring this explanation from different angles. You are in an exam hall. In the exam hall, they say 10 questions, answer 6. You don't know all the 6, but you know 4. Do you leave all the 4? You leave all the 4? Yeah? You leave all the 4. That's because I can't answer all the 6 now. So I leave all the 4. No one does that in his right sense. So we do what we are able from that that we are commanded. You don't say, I'm not able to. You just go ahead. An example was brought by one of the scholars while I explained in the hadith. There is someone who can stand for more than 2 minutes, for example. What should he do? Should he sit down to commence the salah, or he should stand up to commence the salah? He should stand up to commence the salah. When the time, if the imam exceeds the time that he is able, and he begins to feel the difficulty of not being able to stand up, then he should sit. If you not tell me, I can't stand up in the salah, so how will I pray? I can't pray now. Salah is for people who can come. No. He say, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. That is the evidence for that statement. Then he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام. Before that, one of the scholars, Sheikh Salim Nu'id al-Hilali, حفظه الله, he has a book, Al-Mawsu'atu al-Manahi al-Shar'iyya, a compendium of prohibited matters in the Sharia. Everything that Allah and His Messenger prohibit, you see it in the book. It's in 4 volumes. Everything that Allah has prohibited in this deen, you see it in the book, bi-iznillah, and the proofs for its prohibition. Regarding the different aspects from Aqidah, from Ibadah, Mu'amala, different aspects. So in his book, in the Muqaddimah, while talking about the importance of Al-Awamir wal-Manahi, he said, Hafizahullah, that from the very beginning, Allah has placed this deen upon Imtisad al-Awamir wa tarku al-Manahi, acting upon commands, orders, and abstaining from prohibition. He said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told our forefather Adam alayhi salam, he says, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ عَمُرْ كُ He says, وَقُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا كَيْفِ شِئْتُمُ Another Amr hadith, he says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ He says, so the deen has been based on awamir and what? Nawahi. Iskun anta wa zawjika al-jannah. Live in the jannah yourself and your wife. Waqula minha. Eat in this al-jannah. The two of you should eat in al-jannah from wherever you like, whatever you like. But, wa la takraba, la takraba, nah. Hadhihi shajar. But do not come onto this. It says, فَتَقُونَا مِنَ الْجَلِينَ Then you'll be from the wrong door. So our deen is strongly upon these. Awamir and Nawahi. Commands that we are to obey and prohibitions that we are to abstain from. This is very, very nice, beneficial introductory notes from Sheikh Salim al-Hilali. Anyone who has time should look at the book. And Muqaddima also, he brought about 35 ways to know things that are prohibited. Expressions of prohibition. How do you know that from this hadith it indicates that this thing is prohibited? How do you know? About 35 ways. Quoting Al-Imam ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya. Alayhi rahmat. It's a nice thing to look at for the one that Allah gives the opportunity. So these are the two things Islam wants us to be busy with. So don't be busy about asking, finding out about things that are not really, really, really connected to these two aspects. Don't get too busy with it. Those people who are told to kill the cow, they could have killed the cow and it ended there. But they start getting busy with things that are not really, really directly related to actually killing the cow. What kind of cow? What color is it? How old is it? And how? In the end, they are not able to do this. Obligation again. So what can prevent somebody from getting busy with acting upon other commands and abstaining from prohibitions is these two things that he mentioned, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he says, فَإِنَّمَا أَهَلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Certainly, those who came before you, the ulama say, it could be the Jews and the Christians, those before them. But those who are, whenever the text of مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ is mentioned, those who readily come to our mind are the Jews and the Christians. But the Jews and the Christians were destroyed by two things. Two things destroyed them. They are always asking their anbiya questions that are not connected to the awamir and the nawahi. So how to operationalize, awamir and nawahi? They get busy with it. They said this thing destroyed them. Kasrat masa'ilih, regularly asked. All of them. Udukhulu al-ardh al-muqaddasa allati kataba Allah lakum. فلا ترتدوا على أدباركم فتنقلبوا خاسرين. قالوا يا موسى إنا لن ندخلها أبدا ما داموا فيها. شرط. As long as those people are there, we'll not go. فذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنا هؤلاء قائدون. You and your Lord, go and fight. We are standing here. We are waiting. When we finish, come and call us. My name is Raif. So, we should not be like this. And the same of Nabi Isa, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, until we want to see Allah. Karina Allah Jahra. Ko Zilwakalu Karina Allah Jahra. Show us Allah clearly. Let us see Allah, Ya Allah. You prophet, we don't want to hear you again. Allah. So like that, so they are always asking things. If they see Allah, so what? The one that you have not seen, you have not believed. If you see, will you believe it? And that's why in this ummah, from the things that is very, very important is al-Imanu bil-Ghayb. All arkanul iman is iman bil-Ghayb. All the arkanul iman, they are iman bil-Ghayb. الإيمان بالله ترى الله لا الرسول إيمان بالرسول رأيت الرسول كتب شاهدت النزول إنزال لا وكتبه ورسله واليوم لا are we seeing the day of Qiyamana the grave are we seeing what is in the grave so that's why he began by telling us الذين يؤمنون بالغيب in Islam mean it says ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Who are those people? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ مُتَّقُونَ. First thing about taqwa is الْإِيمَانُ بِالْغَيْبِ. And that's why he was saying وَكَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ إِن كَفَرْتُمْ يَوْمًا يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا. How is it possible that you believe when you do not believe in the day that the little child shall grow gray hair? How can you believe? It's Iman bil Ghayb. This is Alladina Yu'minuna bil Ghayb. First attribute of Muttaqun. It's strong Iman in Ghayb. Strong Iman in Ghayb. So, when these Anbiya give us information, we should stand within what they have given us. Not be making tamattu and tahannut about their fitness. He says, فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Those who came before you from the Jews and the Christians, what destroyed them? What did he say when the people were asking for ma'ida? أَلْ يَسْتَطِعُ رَبُّكَ أن ينزل علينا مائدة من السماء. قال اتقوا الله. Do you not believe? Look at taqwa. He brought taqwa because he wanted them to believe in al-ghayb. You want something, they say ghayb. قال اتقوا الله إن كنتم مؤمنين. قالوا نريد أن نأكل منها. We want to eat from it. وتطمئن قلوبنا. وتطمئن قلوبنا. ونعلم أن قد صدقتنا ونكون عليها من الشاهدين. What did he say سبحانه وتعالى؟ قال إني منزلها عليكم ومن يكفر من بعده فإني أعذبه عذابا لا أعذبه أحدا من العالم. No problem, I'll send it to you. You want to see it, Daddy? I will give you. But if I give you, if you disbelieve, I will punish all of you. Those people, the people of Nabi Salih alayhi salam, what did they ask for? A camel and a father or son. So not just a camel, but that the mountain should open like this. And the camel in front of them, look at them. They want a mountain to open while they are standing watching. Rock to open into two and they are watching. You know, tremendous amount of heat energy that we release at fracture points. Tremendous energy is released. It's not just the mountain opening and the energy is released, and Allah will still preserve them, not kill them from the energy, high energy release. That is the energy that destroys people during earthquakes. High energy release will take place when the mountain structure and open up. So they will not be killed by, the animal will not be killed, the Nabi will not be killed, and they will be watching. Allah said, we'll send it to them, lacking, it is what for them, fitna to Allah. We will send it to you, that is fitna for you. So he gave them conditions too, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But today, you will not drink any water from your well. But even at that, Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn al-Kathir in al-Bidayah wa al-Nihaya, alayhi rahmatullah, he brought some riwayat that on the day that the people do not drink water from the well, they drink the milk of the camel. So you can imagine the whole city drinking the milk of one camel. So today, look at Allah, today they have milk, tomorrow they have what? Water. Today they have milk, tomorrow they have water. Allah says, isn't that a fashkoh? One mad one, one criminal amongst them, in Ba'afa. Look at the thing that he used. He just stood up one day. He says, فَقَالَ رَسْلَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَقَ اللَّهِ فَقُقِيَا فَكَذَّبُوا فَعَقَرُوا. ناقه الله اذا هذه ناقه الله فذروها تاكل في ارض الله. It says ناقه الله, the camel of Allah. It says فذروها تاكل في ارض الله. Leave it, let it eat on the earth of Allah. ولا تمسوها بسوء فياخذكم عذاب اليم. Don't cause any harm to this camel. If you cause any harm to this camel, serious punishment will overtake you. Allah says, فَعَقَرُهَا فَقَالَ تَمَتَّعُونَ فِي دَارِكُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ. Says, ذَلِكَ وَعَدٌ غَيْرُ مَكْذُوبٍ. So they killed it. Women played roles in it. There was a woman who was stupendously rich and with beautiful girls as her daughter. He had girls that everyone who saw them wanted to marry them. You know those kind of girls? I would say that. You will always say that the people will say their mommy was happy to be James. Very beautiful. So she called some people and said, look, if you are able to kill this camel, I'll give you my girls. Not only that, I'll give you money. There were 17 of them. Allah mentioned that in Surah Ash-Shu'ara. And they had a meeting. So the next morning, the other one stood up. The worst amongst them. So he is the one who went and stabbed the camel. So Allah says, they killed it. It was one person who killed it, but Allah said they all killed it. الإمام الحافظ ابن كثير عليه رحمة الله in البداية والنهاية while he was saying that it was one person who killed it but Allah said أقروا واو الجماعة they all killed it. Why? He said because those other people rejoiced that the one mad one amongst them was the one whose madness was worst amongst them killed, so they were happy. So when people commit a sin and you are happy, you are like the one who has committed that. That's why Allah says, "Adamdam alayhim rabbuhum bidambihim fakawaha." The punishment was equal. Fakawaha, fakawa, damdama. This punishment was equally distributed. You know why? Even when it was not all of them killed. Because those people jubilated, they ran on, in my Ibn Kathir Rahimah, like they ran to the streets, they are jubilating, hey, the camel has died. So he says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, I give you 3 days. Stay in your house, enjoy yourself for 3 days. And Imam Ibn Kathir alayhi rahmatullah said, even for those 3 days, they did not know enjoyment. Allah says, say, enjoy yourself for 3 days. That is a punishment that will never be belied. Nothing will stop it. Allah destroyed them. He says, Adam alayhim rabbuhum bizabbihim. As powerful as they were. When we finish punishing them, La yakhafu kuma. Nothing will happen at all. We will punish them and nothing will happen. You know what led them to that? Masa'ilihi. Kafratu masa'ilihi. Wakhtilafuhum alamiya. They are asking questions and they are contradicting their anbiya. That's why the anbiya will be telling the people, I am afraid that if you disobey me, Allah will punish you. You are disobeying me, you leave Allah to punish you. And that's why Umar did what he did regarding the hadith we read last week. Let Allah not punish us. One of those things that leads to that is what? Kafratul masa'il. Waliktilafu ala al-anbiya. Kafki. And then when the anbiya say go here, they say no, we go here. So when Bani Israel, they were told to enter, they said they will not enter. Allah says, فَإِنَّهَا because of what they had done, مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةٍ يَسْلِفُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ for 40 years, they will just be walking like that, aimlessly and fast. That's the punishment for what they did. So, too much of optimism is dangerous. And Imam al-Baghawi, quickly, عَلَيْهِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ in his book, Sharh al-Sunnah, he says, Al-Masailu ala wajhain. These questions, there are two kinds of them. Ahaduhuma ma kana ala wajhi tahleel. The one that has to do, that's connected to learning. Ma amartukum bihi fa'tu minhum astaqfil. He asks him, how is this? This one, is this halal? This one, is this haram? Alawajhi at-ta'li. He wants to know. He says, Lima yahtaj ilayhi min amriki. He says, because of the needs of the people, those ones that are in matters of ta'li, the people need it regarding the matters of the adi. He says, فَهُوَ جَائِذٌ. This one is permissible. بَلْ مَأْمُورٌ بِهِ. Even it's not just that it is permissible, it is commanded. He says, the قوله فاسألوا على الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. Ask those who know, the people of knowledge, if you know not. Okay, so this is permissible. ثانيها, ثانيهما, that is the second of the two. ما كان على وجه تعنت وتكلف. Sorry. That which has to do with ta'annut, unnecessary plodding. If it goes forth and backward, it does not have anything to do with ijtinabun nawahi. It doesn't have anything to do with it. Like somebody is asking, those who have habul kahf, what are their names? Which day of the year, of the week, do they enter in the cave? If it is on Monday, so what happened? What are their names? Their name is Isa, Musa, Yusuf, who missed him. So what happened? No benefit. Really, really no benefit. So these ones are referred to as what? Ta'annut wa takallu. Ta'annut, unnecessary burden, and bringing onto oneself burden. Is there any hadith that says that women can be growing beards? Please help us find that hadith. That women can grow beards. So the Sheikh said, inshallah. He goes to his house. He's looking for a hadith that does not exist. Okay, there's hadith that women can grow beards. So what? What has it to do with yani al-imtisalu bil awamir wa tark an-nawahi? What has it to do with it? Nothing. Really nothing. Because I've mentioned it, let me just say it anyway. Someone will tell us if a woman grows a beard, she should remove it. And some say she should leave it like that. Some say she should remove it. If I'm not forgetting, people like Sheikh Uthaymi, but Sheikh Al-Albani surely says she should leave the beard. That is the way Allah has created her. That because what is known with women is that they do not grow hair. If you grow hair, that's where Allah wants the hair to be. Just like a man without beard. What is common that men have beard? If you do not have beard, leave it like that. That's how Allah has said to be. He said the same thing applies, that women are created not to grow beard. If she grows beard, leave it like that. That's how Allah has said to be. That the woman who has grown beard is like the man without beard. They should beat themselves like that. So, I'm not saying if you have a woman who grows there, I'm just referring to the ulama and what they have said. Some say she should remove it, some say she should not remove it. So, some of the gifts are, is there any idea that say women should grow there? You go and look for it for us. So, these kind of questions, they are, like he said to Imam al-Baghawi, Abu Muhammad, عليه رحمة الله سيد ما كان على وجه التعنت وتكلف وهو المراد في الحديث and this is what is intended in that hadith والله أعلم الإمام الحافظ بن حجر while commenting on this comment of الإمام البغوي he says ويؤيده ورود الزجر في الحديث عن ذلك the report of warning that we should not be doing that affirms this explanation of Imam al-Baghawi was Zammu Salaf. The fact that the pious predecessors rahimahumullah also always dispraise somebody asking questions like that is also evidence that it is prohibited. Because Fa'in Ahmad min Hadith al-Muawiyah that Imam Ahmad has collected a hadith from Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Naha anil uglutat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited uglutat. Uglutat, they are things that when a scholar or when scholars talk about, they easily make mistakes. Uglutat are issues that when scholars talk about it, easily they make mistakes. Scholars, I'm not talking about students, learning people just learning Islam. When learned people speak about the matter, they make mistakes. The Prophet prohibited people from asking those kind of questions. Questions of easy problems, problem areas. Don't go and start asking to see. That day that Jibril came, what was the surah of that he came with? How was he looking? His nose, his ear, was he looking like a European or a Negro? anyone who will answer this question will likely to make a mistake. Anyone who will answer that question is very likely going to make a mistake. So these things the Prophet predicted it. And that report is in Muslim Imam Ahmad. قال الإمام الأوزاعي هي شدائد المسائل. إمام الأوزاعي عليه رحمة الله said, عبد الرحمن الأوزاعي عليه رحمة الله he said هي شدائد المسائل. That those who will stop, they are شدائد difficult مسائل. The person asking it himself just knows that he wants to go to show malam today. He go and look for one question somewhere. Ask you dunya. Come and ask the question. He said to Ali Rahmatullah, Inna Allah Iza arada an yuharrima abdahu barakat al-ilm alqa ala nisanihi al-maghalir. Imam al-Awza'i said to Ali Rahmatullah, Inna Allah Iza arada an yuharrima abdahu barakat al-ilm. When Allah wants to give his servant not to benefit from the virtues of knowledge. Allah makes him a kind of a person, al-maghalib, who regularly asks about these kind of questions. That's his own shuglu shaga. He says, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُمْ أَقَلُّ النَّاسِ عِلْمًا. I have found those people the least in knowledge. I move around same people with learning. Those people who are asking about Ughlufaq, they are least in al-aqallu nasi ilman. They are usually not knowing anything. Those serious matters, yes, they know it. Bid'ah. Is it not bid'ah? What is bid'ah? Bid'ah, is it not adding on to Sharia? Yes, did I add on to Sharia? So everyone who adds to the Sharia is kafir. Those are the kind of things you find on the list of those people. Anyone who does a bid'ah is a kafir. You find things like that. 1 + 1 is equal to 2 kind of fatwa. No tafsir. Anyone who rules by what Allah has not establish, give him approval. Is he my kafir? Is he? وَمَنْ لَا يَحْكُمْ مَا ذَلَّا فَوِدَّ الْحَكِمُ. Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya alayhi rahmatullah, from the areas, from the matters that he has said people should avoid talking about, except al-jihadiza min al-ulama. Not just ulama, al-jihadiza to minhum. The most learned eminent among the scholars are those who speak about them. It's al-hukmu bighayri ma anzala Allah. Says لأنه موضع ذلة القدر. It's a place where people easily slip and make errors. So when someone all he is interested in, that's why you see that these people, usually those people who ask those questions, they can't even read the Quran correctly. Those who are without, anyone who does not know by what Allah is doing, he can't read. Give him mushaf to read from it like this. He can't read the Quran. It's common with them. That's why Imam al-Awza'i alayhi rahman, he says, قَدْ رَأَيْتُهُمْ أَقَلِّ النَّاسِ إِلْمًا. These people who are busy with Al-Ghali, they find that they are the least learned amongst the people. So these are some of the salaf, rahimahumullah, but all of them, when they make statements, you think that they wahi, they depend upon to make the statement. So all this makes us understand the evil in كثرة المسائل والاختلاف على الأمر. So the hadith says that عن أبي هريرة عبد الرحمن بن صخر رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول ما نهيتكم عنه فاجتنبوه وما أمرتكم به فأتوا منه ما استطعتم فإنما أهلك الذين من قبلكم كثرة مسائلهم واختلافهم على أنبيائهم رواه البخاري ومسلم. So this is the hadith inshallah. I hope that
Allah makes us understand it better than it has been explained. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaykum salam. How do we count the fingers when we are making adhkar? Is it on the line or what? What we are told to count are the unmula. The unmula will define what you will count. Some of them have said, alayhim rahmatullah, that it is only the tip. The meaning of an unmula is the breaks of the hand, like this. And some have said that is the joint. You know, on each finger you have about three joints, except the thumb. On the thumb you have just one. On the small finger you have three also. On the second finger, on the first finger, you have two also. The same thing on the mid finger or the second finger. And then the thumb, the index finger. What is it called in Arabic? The one who said it is index, he said in Arabic. Sababa. And then the thumb is what? Ibha. So this is khinsa, this is dinsa, this is wafa, this is sababa, and this is ibha. On each of these, some of them say we count the top of it alone, that is unmula. And some say no, every brick in the hand is the unmula. If you go by the comment of those who say it's the top, it means only the first top like this to be counted. And if you go by the comments of those who say that it is every break, it is the breaks. The breaks. The point in between two, no, there are three, there are two joints and three breaks. So in between the breaks, we have a joint. Three breaks, two joints. So you count one, two, three, one, two, three. So it will not definitely be the line. Because if you have to count the line, even by the comments of those who say that it is every break, that means on the screen for you count only two. But there is no one, I have not seen any of the scholars of Arabic grammar saying that the unmula is the joint. They will say it between two joints, like this. Allahu Allah. So you immer count up like this, going by the comments of those who say the top, or you count one, two, three, going by the comments of those who say every break, like this, makes an unmula. Allahu Akbar. They call it raja. Alaykum salam. Not what he likes. That to mean who must have passing does not mean what he likes. To mean who must suffer, to mean what he is able to do. And you may be able to do something even when you dislike it. A person may be able to do something even if he dislikes it. So it's not what you like. To mean who must suffer. To. It means it's not to mean who must suffer. It's the power, your ability, not what you like. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam.
نعم وين الشرطية it is not للأمومية ما that is ما نهيتكم when I إذا نهيتكم عن شيء that's what the ulama of law says that's why it has فعل الشرط عن جواب الشرط ما نهيتكم نهيت فعل الشرط فاجتنب أو فأتوا جواب الشرط الله أعلم so the mean ما هي اسم الشرطية عليكم السلام
I was going to the explanation of water that was given by the Abu Hassan al-Shafi'i.
Al-Hanif.
We were now talking about Tirmidhi, Sunnah, Tirmidhi, Hadith. So that the Ahadith were not compiled, no kind of compiled, and we brought aside from Abdullah ibn Dinar that the only Kitab al-Talaqat that you are given a halabdan and also it was a report of Ibn Shihab al-Zubri that he was the first person that did Tadwin al-Hadith.
Tadwin or Rasmi?
No.
So now, to say that Al-Imam, no, what's the question?
Now, what, how do you compile the
two? That's the recompilation you are hearing. The compilation of Al-Imam al-Zuhri alayhi rahmatullah is Tadwin al-Rasmi, official compilation. And that happened at the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And the people from the grandchildren of Amr ibn Hazmin, who was the one to whom the Prophet wrote a letter, alayhi dictated a letter alayhi salatu salam, in the details of the matters of Zakah. The hadith is in Muwatta Imam Malik. The hadith of Amr ibn Hazmin. That is the same hadith that contains وَأَلَّا يَمَسُّ الْقُرْآنَ إِلَّا الطَّاهِرِ because he was amongst the Christians. So, and the hadith is Hassan, is in Muwatta. The compilation of Amr, that itself is writing, Tadwin. Because from Tadwin is Kitaba. Don't forget that Abu Huraira had a compilation that he would memorize رضي الله عنه. Abu Huraira said Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As had a compilation. And those compilations were made right in the time of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As will come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam and say that the people are abusing me. And I'm writing everything that you say. What he was writing was compiling it. It's Tadwin. And before people like Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Abdullah ibn Abbas had compilation. It was reported that when he traveled on his voyages, he piled his compilation on horses and camels. And he lived well before Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, before Imam al-Zuhri. And Imam al-Zuhri did not collect hadith from any companion except Anas bin Malik, radiallahu anhu. So, it is not correct to say that Tadwin was not made until the time of Imam al-Zuhri. Except that you say Tadwin al-Rasmi, official compilation. Yes, but the state, what the scholar could compile it from what people had. Recently it was found in Sweden, the compilations of Abu Huraira was found in Sweden recently, less than 15 years ago. It was compiled with his ahadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad and Sahih Bukhari. You see, about all the ahadith are contained there. Because Abu Huraira gave his compilation to his student called Wahab ibn Munabbis. So he was the one who collected the compilations. And it went like that to his own generation. Until it got lost and then recently it is found in Europe. And got back to the Muslim world. So what Abu Huraira compiled is also Tadwin. So do we not sunnah min asri Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam ala qawli sahih illa iza quyidat bimada bil-rasmiyya iza quyid anna sunnah anna sunnah anna tadwin al-rasmiyya naam tadwin al-rasmiyya naam that is official compilation like in tadwin mustaqan la do we not sunnah munzu asri Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam Allahu alam alaykum salam
Thank you.
Last week your question was expanding. We left everything we are discussing, we discussed it, but you are not there. Allahu Akbar. Barakallahu fik.
This on the issue of salam, the figure of salam alaikum wa rahmatullah, salam alaikum. Someone was asking of it, what is the proof for saying that what salam is composed? How is it the proof for making that proof for salam alaikum?
One of it is this hadith. Is that amount to Quran saying? The ulama said, because the one asking, أَقُلِّ يَوْمٍ يَا رَسُولَ أَقُلِّ عَامٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, is it going to be every year? The ulama say it means that whenever we are commanded to do something, it's twice, it's once. Except if we have evidence that we will be doing it more than once. The ulama say when we are commanded to do something, it means that it should be done once. Except we have evidence that we're doing that thing more than once. So the want itself is the obligation. The one is the one that goes, because by that stuff means you have fulfilled obligation. You have obeyed the instruction. Stand up. The person stands up. And then sit down. No, even when he's not told to sit down, he stands up. Has he obeyed the other to stand up? Stand up, he stands up. And then he sits down. Has he obeyed the other to stand up? Has he? He has not. Why? Does stand up mean don't sit down? Stand up and keep standing. That's why when he means it, he says stand up and keep standing. Is it not so? Huh? Yeah, at the place. He says stand up there. Huh? So the ulama of usul say, if we are commanded regarding any matter, and we do that matter once we have fulfilled that order, except we have the proof that that order should be repeated and repeated. You ask for the evidence, I've given the evidence. Don't tell me what he says again, unless you want to ask another question. Or he has a proof that negates what I have said, then you mention it. MashaAllah. Alayhi salatu
wasalam.
Who told him he never did one? There is the first Muwa Qayman Malik that is authentic. The Prophet will say, As-salamu alaykum. That never did one is not authentic. He will do one, alayhi salam. Alaykum.
Someone asked me that, someone comes for a non-Muslim
that. Can someone pray for a non-Muslim that is sick? I don't know. If the prayer is that his health should be restored, but if the prayer is that he should be guided to Islam, that's why even when he's not sick, you pray for him. Because the Prophet would pray for the conversion of Umar to Islam. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. He prayed that Umar be brought to Islam. He prayed for the mother of Abu Huraira. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. But that his health should be restored, I can't say now because I don't have it. I'm not remembering any hadith. If you had asked, can a Muslim visit a non-Muslim who is sick, I say yes. There was a young man who was a Jew at the time of the Prophet. He was sick, the Prophet visited him. So from that, the ulama say that, and he was telling him, alayhi salatu wasalam, to say, La ilaha illallah. The boy was looking at the face of his father, and his father said, Ittabi Abal Qas. Follow the father of God. So the boy said what the Prophet said, alayhi salam. But I don't know any report from that hadith that said that before that time the Prophet was praying Allah to restore his health. I don't know. That's why I said I don't know, because I don't know any hadith that I'm teaching now that says so. Allahu Alam. Alhamdulillah, we'll stop here bi'idhnillah. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. آمين وإياك.